you would finish the following statement. The secret to leading a happy life is... What would you say? Would our answers be found in circumstances? Were we tempted to answer the secret to leading a happy life as being rich, or having a nice home, or landing the dream job? Would our answers be about having the latest gear, the right possessions, the best clothes? Would our answers be rooted in relationships, in friendships, in knowing good health, or perhaps in the weather? The world is searching for the answer to this question. What will make us happy? What will make us feel fulfilled? Now, one of the things I often find myself doing, at least in days gone by where we would have spent time shopping in person and not mostly online due to COVID, one of the things I often found myself doing was stopping into a bookshop, maybe Waterstones up in central London or at Greenwich, or maybe even Foyles in Westfield and Stratford, to browse books, but also to see what their recommended reads were, or in one of my favourite sections in a bookshop, to browse, but never really to buy from, the self-help section, the how-to section. I must stress, not because I'm looking for a new guru to follow, but because I'm fascinated by where the world is looking to for advice. What's the latest guru's solutions for happiness or purpose or well-being? Now, some of these books are harmless, if a little misguided. But when we put our hope in the wrong hacks or mantras, well, real damage can be done. Even this week, I found a link to Elle Magazine's article titled "The 24 Most Inspiring Self-Help Books to Refresh the Way You Think for 2020. Now, this article was subtitled "From Memoirs to Mental Decluttering Guides." Here is your go-to list of self-care literature to help your mind, body, and beliefs. Now, I wonder this morning if you would like to know what some of Elle Magazine's suggestions were for how to live a fulfilled life in 2020. Well, let me put you out of your misery. First, the timeless classic, according to Elle Magazine, How to Win Friends and Influence People, the only book they say you need to lead you in success. Declutter your mind. Another book, How to Stop Worrying, Relieve Anxiety and Eliminate Negative Thinking. If it worked, I'm sure we all would have heard of it by now. Another book, The Happiness Advantage, and listen for the killer blow, 7 Principles of Positive Psychology that Fuel Success and Performance at Work. I wonder, what if happiness though wasn't tied in to our performance and success at work in the first place? And lastly, from only a few of the 24 highlighted options, Happy, Finding Joy in Every Day and Letting Go of Now, the world is looking for answers, for experts, for theories, for hopes. Now, in case you are wondering, none of the 24 suggestions were this book. The living, breathing Word of God, which doesn't just offer theories or ideas, little practices for us to try to fix our thoughts, but is itself the manual for how to know relationship with God. The promises of peace, happiness, purpose, in a world not defined by success at work or wealth, but by relationship with your Heavenly Father, who provides for all your needs in both the good and the bad. Now this morning, I want us to jump into Scripture to see what it has to say about the source for happiness as we wrestle as ever with questions about identity and circumstances this morning. On this All Saints Day, where we reflect back on the martyrs, on the brothers and sisters who have gone before us into glory. What if all of us need to reset on what it means to live fulfilled and happy because of who we are found in rather than in our circumstances? What does Scripture have to say about what it means to be blessed? To be known eternally beyond our means, our circumstances, our performance at work and the money in our pockets? What have we to see today about what it means to be holy, blessed, and for all of us to recognise we are all saints this day. Now, I love the short reading that Mammy read for us from 1 John today. You know, it was only 3 verses, yet there is so much to say about identity and what it means for us to be God's children now, his saints, his people, navigating the world around us in a world where people are looking everywhere for guidance or looking for a map for the way ahead. John says, see. See what kind of love the Father has given. In a world of things competing for your attention, competing for you to look closer, the fanciest adverts that can pull you in, instead, Scripture says, see and know what kind of love the Father has given to us. It's a statement of fact. Look at how God has shown you his love, the lavish gifting of God, the cross of Christ, which stands as a testament throughout history to proclaim you are loved this much. Hear the words of your Heavenly Father over you. You are a child of God, John says, and so we are. See the Father's love and know your identity today. Because, beloved, we are God's children now. You don't have to pass the test. You don't have to have a great year at work. You don't need to prove your love for the Father. If you're good enough, maybe you'll get to sit at his table. No, today's Scripture says we are his children. All of us invited to this table. All of us today living in that identity now. Christianity, not the best get out of jail card for when we die, but changing our lives, giving purpose, giving hope, giving peace, giving clarity, in a world looking for your attention, offering you hacks, come instead to the one who says, I love you this morning. See how the Father has poured out his love upon us. Beloved, you are a child of God. Yes, you are. Now, I wonder this morning who you look like. Now, in the Stock family, the family genes are strong. There's a strong family likeness. I look like my dad, and me and my sisters all look fairly similar. You know by looking at us that we are related. Because likeness is a proof of relationship. So if we are God's children and he is our Heavenly Father, do we look like him today? Do we want people to see our Heavenly Father's image in us? If we want to be like Jesus, Scripture says we've got to reset our minds. We've got to step away from the demands of the world. What it says it means to be happy or blessed. You know, looking like Jesus starts with humility and service, but also, as John writes today, verse 3, purity. John says, everyone who thus hopes in Jesus purifies himself as Jesus is pure. Friends, is our relationship with Jesus being revealed in us becoming more like him? Do you want to live like Jesus today? Do you want to grow in your walk with him, to be transformed day by day into his likeness? See, the love of God delights to change rebels into children. But do you want to know that change today? As I said earlier, on this All Saints Day, what's your view of what it means to be a saint? Is it just someone with a glowing circle round their head? Someone who we imagine probably sat quietly their whole life, like how they seem to always look in our stained glass windows. But that wasn't how they lived their lives. The people we aspire to be like, the saints of the past, weren't all perfect and quiet and peaceful. They were absolute riot raisers. People who dared to believe the world they inhabited wasn't as what it was supposed to be. They were boundary pushers, convinced that God's message needed to be heard regardless of the times they found themselves in. They lived out their faith with a boldness and a confidence and a courage that God was with them and for them. They knew they were God's children, and God's love sustained them despite the circumstances they were in. Paul wrote from his prison cell of joy. John wrote from an island in isolation. They knew who they were. They knew who had called them and who loved them, and they knew they had a part to play in God's unfolding plans for the world. Today, do we know that we are loved by a God who took the initiative, who came close so that we might know his love, that we today might know that we are children of God? Do you know you have a part to play in bringing the love and hope of God to the world around you? Do you want to play your part today? Now, as I said already, one of the things we've got to do if we want to live for Jesus is reset our mindsets. We've got to switch up our motivations. In a world that is all about do what you want, that apparently measures success at work to how happy you are, that celebrates greed and power rather than servitude and humility. If we want to be like Jesus, we've got to take a step back. We've got to pursue a different criteria. We've got to recognise that money and power doesn't equal happiness and success. And instead seek first God's kingdom and righteousness, rather than praise from man or money in the bank. How are we to do this? Well, Jesus gives us some suggestions in our gospel reading. Matthew chapter 5, the start of Jesus' famous Sermon on the Mount, with what we call the Beatitudes. A clear setting out from Jesus of the opposite way that we as his followers are supposed to see the world. Now, these 12 verses from Matthew's Gospel are sometimes known as the Kingdom Manifesto, and they should shake us to the core. Because there's a reality for all of us that some of what we are striving for is here turned on its head by Jesus. This is Jesus' prescription, if you like, for what a happy life looks like. And if we're honest, it makes us uncomfortable because it's challenging, it's deeply countercultural, but it's wonderfully profound. Now, I asked at the start, what does a happy life look like? I bet you nobody rushed for the answer of persecution, meekness. But Jesus has some thoughts for us to think about, because Jesus has eight statements to make. Eight, blessed are those who. Now, the word Jesus is using is the word makarios, which can mean blessed, as I read today. Or maybe in your Bible it says, happy are those. Now, straight away, we've got to notice that who Jesus says are blessed aren't those we would tend to say are. We're so quick to say we're blessed when things are going well, when we get the latest thing, when we are on the up. But here Jesus points to a deeper sense of blessing. For it's not those sharing hashtag blessed on social media that Jesus points to. But instead we get a profound insight that God's blessing rests upon those we overlook and situations and circumstances we do all we can to avoid. Perhaps you might find it helpful to read these verses replacing the word blessed or happy with the word content. For perhaps that's closer to what we understand by the word, given blessed has become so misused in our contemporary culture. Look with me. Jesus says, blessed or content are those who are poor in spirit. Blessed are those who mourn. Blessed are the meek. Content are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. Blessed are the merciful. Content are the pure in heart. Blessed are the peacemakers. Content are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake. What's Jesus saying this morning? Well, it's not our circumstances that lead to blessing. It's not our circumstances that lead to happiness. It's instead in knowing whose hands you are resting in. The poor in spirit, the person wearied by the world, can consider themselves blessed because they rest in the hands of the one who holds the world. In God's hands, we don't need to wear a mask of pretending all is okay. Instead, we come to God as we are, not with all the answers, not pretending we've had an all right week when it's been absolutely hellish, but secure in who we are as God's children, to know that whether it's the best day in the world or we can't remember the last time we had a good day, that we can be content and rest in the blessing that God holds us as he holds the world. In a world full of people trying to be powerful and important, Jesus said, "Blessing rests on the meek, not the bully." For whilst those who shout the loudest and step over whoever they can to try and gain the world now, their influence and power will fade. And instead it is the meek, the servant, who inherits the earth forever. Now, meekness is so often replaced in our minds, I know it is in mine, by the words it sounds a little like. Meekness, weakness. But remember with me that Jesus was meek. And yet he still overthrew temples, shattering pillars of injustice. Meek doesn't mean weak. It just means unwilling to step and shout our ways to powers, to places of power that were never ours to take. Jesus said, "Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied." Now our whole world is looking for satisfaction. Our whole world is hungry. Hungry for significance, hungry for love, for power, striving for what comes next, seeking just a little bit more in the quest for happiness and fulfillment. But the world is salty. It never satisfies. The quench can't be, the thirst can't be quenched. Because although we think we got it for a bit, then we just realise we need something a little bit more. What in this world brings contentment? Jesus says, stop chasing after the world. Instead, seek righteousness from God, the source of living water, the only one that satisfies. For there is blessing and contentment in the end to striving after the ways of the world. Now, we could go through every one of these statements, but perhaps the last one to pull out relevant today on All Saints Day. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake. Now, to our ears, this just sounds crazy. Blessed are the persecuted. We say we are blessed when we have an easy life. We hashtag bless when we are at peace, at rest in. But here is a profoundly unsettling statement from Jesus, but one the saints throughout history knew was true. Today our brothers and sisters round the world persecuted for their faith know it to be true. In the face of opposition, in the face of uncertainty, contentment is known in the arms of Jesus. Fear cannot stop the praise. Government and militias cannot hinder the praise. Force underground, the church grows because nothing stops the love of Jesus. The unrelenting hope and power of the gospel to bring life, freedom, and purpose. Paul would say, "I'm in chains, but the gospel is not." We think sometimes we're blessed because we have an easy life. But that didn't appear in Jesus' list of blessings or kingdom values or real living. Perhaps if we're just cruising by, seeking an easy life, we might want to shake up our faith a little. We might want to go back to scripture and see that those who are all in for Jesus live anything but an easy life. Living life in all its fullness, as John's gospel says, doesn't look like doing our best to escape boredom. Living life in all its fullness doesn't look like making do until the next break comes through. Living life in all its fullness doesn't look like saving up for the next thing, and then when we get it, not being satisfied by it just a few weeks or months later and starting to save up again. Jesus didn't call us to be boring. He called us to live in freedom and life in all abundance now. Because being all in for Jesus, knowing freedom and contentment now, looks like joining in on bringing heaven on earth. Now, we could talk about these passages all day, but instead, what might we want to draw our focus on a little bit? Now, firstly, I wonder if you know you are really loved by God, or if you're still using your circumstances as almost a test as to whether God really loves you. Hey, when it goes well, I know God loves me, but when it's challenging, well, maybe I'm not truly blessed and highly favoured. Does your belief in God's love for you change when your circumstances do? When life's going easy, you're quick to say hashtag blessed, to sing God's praises. But then when the challenges come, when life gets tough, do you question God's heart for you? See, John wrote, "See the love God has lavished on you. Know that you are a child of God, full stop, not dependent on circumstances or ease of life, but a child of God in the good and the bad, Do you know today that you are loved beyond measure? See what love God has lavished upon us, John wrote. God sought you out. He knows your name. He called you. He knows what your worry that kept you up last night was. He has a plan and a purpose for your life. Do you believe and trust in him today? See what love the Father has lavished upon us. Know today you are loved. Secondly, I think there's probably a challenge for all of us in how we receive the Beatitudes. Because Jesus' teaching is challenging. His blessed statements are so counter-cultural. Happiness, blessing, contentment found not in circumstances, but despite them. Jesus said contentment can be known in the midst of suffering, persecution, mourning, weariness, and purity. As followers of God, we are called to go against the grain, to live distinctively, to live in the world but not of it, to live differently to those around us, to shake up the way that people think about God, to point to a different reality. This week, will our family likeness shine? As brothers and sisters of Christ, as children of the Most High God, will we bring God's love to people around us? Will it be in how we show mercy? Will it be in how we speak of hope, even despite the chaos we find ourselves in? Will it be about how we pursue peace and reconciliation in a hurting and divided world? Will it be in how we show comfort to the grieving? How this week will we become more like Jesus? How will we live out the Beatitudes with those around us? How will we say no to the ways of the world and instead choose to bring the good news of the kingdom by living out Jesus' way? That doesn't mean we have to pretend it's all okay. Jesus wept. But it means in the space of desperation, of hopelessness, we know we are loved. It means we know something of comfort and hope and purpose and peace. And we share that with those around us. Thirdly, I wonder if we want to look especially into what it means to hunger and thirst for righteousness. This week, what will we fix our eyes upon? What will we strive for? John said, those who know Jesus put their hope in him, look to be made pure. Jesus says we should strive and thirst and hunger for righteousness above everything else. And so this week, what will your motivation be in? What will you chase after? Holiness or something else? Purity or the ways of the world? Contentment in Christ or satisfaction from a different source? Do you want to be filled anew? Do we want to receive from the living bread and water of Christ, which satisfies? Or will we keep going to the wrong wells and sources? Junk food just doesn't satisfy the same way as a home-cooked dinner. A slow-cooked dinner beats the microwavable meal every day. Why do we swap the eternal riches of God for a quick hit of the world, which just leave us wanting more rather than being satisfied in Christ? Stop settling for an instant when you were made for the eternal. Stop pursuing the now in light of what lasts forever. Place your hope in Jesus. He doesn't let us down. This week, let's strive for righteousness and holiness. Let's strive for growth in godliness. Would that be our motivation for this week? That we might see what it means to step further into real living. Jesus said, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. And who doesn't want that today? Lastly, how are we to respond then when things are difficult? When another lockdown is announced, when opposition comes, when the health difficulty happens, when the challenges simply just feel overwhelming, when there's uncertainty about jobs, when knockback after knockback happens, when a door closes and you're taken aback by it, what are we to do? Know you are loved. Trust in the promise-keeping God, hope in the one who does not let us down, who never promised us an easy life, but promised us that every step we take, he walks beside us. No, you join in the names of history who kept going because God kept calling them onwards. Love, hope, trust, respond. God is working his purposes out. He hasn't finished with you yet. What part are you stepping into? What's your role in God's saving plan for the world? We don't need to wait for a sunny day. There's not going to be a sunny day for a while or two. But remember, we walk with the God who walks on the storm, who with a whisper stills the storm. Come and walk on the storm, on water with Jesus, together with all the saints throughout history, who in whatever time they found themselves in, let us be people who bring hope and peace and joy to the world around us. This week, what does it look like to be all in for Jesus? What does it look to live for God in an upside, unsettling world? Upside down, unsettling world. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied.